My name is Mike Shuka. There's no reason why you should remember that, but that's what it is. Is this, it's ready to go? My spending is tracked by what I choose to call the approximate method of accounting. So-called because for some individuals, standard bookkeeping methodology is a complete mystery. Or maybe they just made an innocent error early on in their accounting career and were never able to figure out the error or errors. Hence, we're unable from that time forward ever to arrive at a precise current balance. This is where rationality takes a flyer. My personal accounting philosophy embraces the need to be not exactly correct, but close enough to exactitude to stay out of overdraft territory. Also known as the income must be outgoes method of accounting, this method, due to its certain uncertainty, actually enforces a fair degree of fiscal conservatism. Whenever the economic outlook suggests the possibility of negative funds upcoming in the checking account, the prudent approximate bookkeeper calls for a slowdown in spending. This may also require what is called an emergency infusion. This fiscal tool is always preceded by a telltale throat clearing, followed by a gentle plaintive inquiry. Some cynics might characterize this as a whine. Honey, can you spare a little from your checking account? The restraints stay on until such time as greater confidence in the income-outgoes balance seems assured. Another, some might say unnecessary tool the approximate accountant may use is to establish and maintain what may be characterized as a reserve fund. Not a separate fund, actually, but there comes a time in the career of the approximate accountant when great diligence and sheer dumb luck suggests a bit of a cushion in the cyclical race to maintain an advantage of income over outgoes. Several months running, with the bank statement being in very close agreement with the accountant's approximate numbers, may show this advantage to be quite stable. Where the bank consistently shows a higher balance than the approximate bookkeeper's balance sheet, the approximate size of unused funds reveals itself, and every effort must be made to keep outgoes in line with the approximate accountant's version of the balance. The reserve is thus maintained, and the approximate accountant sleeps very well. Do you begin to see the rationale of the irrational approximate method? Let us posit the unthinkable. A bill must be paid, but it is absolutely necessary to encroach on the sanctity of the reserve account. What then? Two possibilities. The amount borrowed from the reserve may be carried as a negative balance until fresh income arrives, or knowing in close approximation the amount in the reserve, a deposit may be made in the required amount to cover the check. All the approximate accountant needs to do is to invariably recall that much of a reduction in the reserve so as not to exceed the lesser limit in the future. Some fuss budgets may characterize this simple, sensible course of action to be cooking the books. But to the approximate accountant, it's just another routine entry. Let us consider accounting, or as some refer to it, bookkeeping. These terms refer to essentially the same activity, an endeavor which is relentlessly, endlessly, enthusiastically indulged in by certain obsessive-compulsive, masochistic individuals who seem inexplicably oblivious to the mental and emotional torture to which they subject themselves. They seem to think that they enjoy it. Obviously delusional. The exact nature of the psychological makeup of these Amazons is not entirely clear, but those of us who count ourselves in the ranks of the far more rational often exhibit a morbid fascination with the question of why, oh why, anyone of any mental makeup whatever would willingly and repeatedly subject themselves to an ordeal that alarms, frightens, and produces palpitations in any normal individual. This fascination holds for approximately 11 months of the year. In the other month, panic erases the fascination, and we scramble to visit representatives of this weird population for the purpose of begging rescue from the most frightening plague we are subjected to, and on an annual basis. Panic may set in as early as January, but most often manifests between March 15 and April 15, like clockwork, every single year. For just a few months of every year, then, elements of the accounting population rise to the status of superheroes, crowning themselves with glory. Still mysterious, but now they are seen by us normals as benevolent magicians who can somehow in a twinkling scan pages of esoteric directions and formula and satisfy one of the cruelest cabals on earth. Normals trample each other to secure the services of whomever is regarded as their tax accountant and gladly fork over a fee that seems to grow every year, even though no detectably greater effort is required of the accountant than was necessary in previous years. We tolerate anything, it seems, and all because at some time in our personal histories we have experienced this season of the year, left to our own devices, trying to accomplish on time what the professional lunatics seem to do with such apparent ease. That experience, rest assured, can have consequences not pleasant to visit firsthand, and which must be horrifying to behold if such were to be beheld, try saying that 10 times fast, by a disinterested observer. Domestic warfare of the most sanguinary nature ever experienced or observed. Kindly, loving, considerate couples lose all recollection of previous domestic tranquility, giving and receiving care, concern, and kindness. Tempers flare wildly. Accusations are hurled. Recriminations are deeply felt. And finally, communication just ceases. Eventually, because it must, the task does get completed. Crimes are pardoned, and resolutions are uttered in great sincerity and determination. The only resolution worth the utterance, however, and only with the proviso that there is follow-through, is next year we get an accountant.